I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus. This morning, I want to open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask you to help us, Father, to take heed to your word. We thank you for it, Father. We ask you to help us to be faithful to you, Lord, in this world. Lord, that you would be our protection and our shield against our enemy, Father. Give us wisdom. Fill us with your Spirit, in Jesus' name. We have the Bible is given to us to lead us and teach us to God. We follow the New Testament. It gives us a pattern of following Christ. The Bible says that all Scripture is given for inspiration and for instruction in righteousness. Some people take that to mean that all Scripture is handwritten by God. But it's not. It inspires us. The Scriptures were inspired. Men were inspired by what they had learned from God. And they wrote it down. It wasn't hand-delivered or dictated to man. It was what holy men wrote down who were inspired by God. And it's inspiring to us, to righteousness and to godliness. In Joshua 23... this is some scripture, and it's recounting the history of man, basically. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't change. He's the same today, and forever. And He doesn't. Neither does man change. It's not talking about how they deal with every little problem, that they might say the exact same things over and over and over again. He's talking about the tendencies of man, that they remain consistent. And the character of God remains consistent. It doesn't mean that He just continues to do the same thing He's always done, because He does change. He's given us a perfect example in the weather. We have spring, summer, winter, and fall. And things happen different in the spring than they do in the fall. But basically, it doesn't change. The things that happen in the spring happen in the spring, and the things that happen in the fall happen in the fall. There's different time periods that it's basically consistent. Man is consistently falling away from God. And God consistently tries to warn men, and then He withdraws Himself and judges them. We are living in the midnight hour. Sometimes we forget about that. And I want to read this passage, and then we'll go to some other scriptures. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto you, unto all these nations, because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot those nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of their name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you the great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that no one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord our God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside from the right hand or to the left. These people were given instructions of how to please their God and how to overcome Satan in this world. And he said, don't turn from the right or the left. You follow the instructions that I've given you. He said that if you do that, there will be promises and blessings. And there will be. But he also said, know this, that if you turn from those, that there will be judgments. The same God deals with each one of us the same way, whether we be in the Old Testament or we be in the New. He deals with each one of us according to our ways. He's not a respecter of person. These people began to think that they were the people of God. And they began to rest in that. They began to find comfort in that. They began to find peace in that. And they got comfortable and they relaxed. And the next thing they know, they were being judged. This is given to us as a warning. That the judgment day is coming. God has given us, delivered the land for us. He has provided a way for us. He is a protection and a shield for us. Some people say that because we want to obey God and teach people that we ought to obey God, that we're trying to work our own way to heaven. That whole idea is just pure foolishness. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you just take their argument that they give to us, that you can't work your way to heaven, I'll agree with that. You can't work your way there. But the wages of sin is still death. You may not be able to work your way there, but you'll still sin your way to hell. God is in this world trying to call men out of it. And we have a responsibility to how we live and act and maintain our lives, watching and waiting for Him to return. We have an enemy in this world, and he wants to kill us. If all were neutral, and we didn't have an enemy, we wouldn't need God's protection. We could just simply choose to live out our lives unmolested and to live our lives for Him. Just happy and doing what comes natural for a man to do. But we have an enemy. Christ died to deliver us from that enemy. And we need God every day to protect us from that enemy. Whenever we talk about working and obeying, we're keeping ourselves in a way, in a place where God can protect us. Because we need His protection. We are not on our own doing anything. We make a choice to follow Christ because Christ died. We didn't do that ourselves, but we are responsible to make that proper choice and to do what God expects us to do. And if we don't, we're wide open to Satan and his deception. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until He have destroyed you from off of this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. All the things that God has given you are a result of His good promises. But if you don't maintain that, there's a promise that He'll take them away and destroy you from off of this land. He said that He delivered and fought for you and brought you to this place. But if you neglect it, He won't fight for you anymore. I think that's where we have to guard ourselves from the apostasy or sliding back into what we used to be. I think that's what apostasy is. He fought the battle and won it for you. And if you slide back into it, you're on your own. Christ isn't going to die again for you. That doesn't mean that because you fail a few times. But if you continually, gradually just slide back into what you were, there comes a place where He can't help you anymore. Beware. Beware. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that he that withholdeth, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed from the Lord, and whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The mystery of iniquity is at work. The Antichrist, who exalts himself above all that is God and that's called God, even dwelling in the very temple of God, mankind, demanding worship, people professing that they follow Christ, being overwhelmed with a spirit being, and they believe that this is God while they live their ungodly lives. Overwhelmed with peace and joy, comfort and rest, while they choose their own path, while they refuse to walk in light, maybe even in a plain setting where they follow the outward rules of Christianity or the outward teachings of Christ, but yet they're not following Christ. They're following their own path. But they have peace and rest and comfort that they're on the right road. It's the most dangerous place there is in the world, is comfort and rest, that you're safe in this world. We're in a dangerous place. God is good, and Satan is just as terrible. And he's waiting and watching for you just to get comfortable. Just biding his time, waiting for that time that you just let down your guard, that you just start searching for some comfort and rest in your life, that you want to be at home here. He just offers that to you. The lights go out. And you continue living your life wondering what you were so troubled about at one time. Happens every day. Happens every day. Someone preaches the cross. We see it. We just saw it this week. Clear as a bell. Preach the cross to people. They see it clearly. But they choose the way of comfort and rest. And the light goes out. They just don't care anymore. They don't even remember that it bothered them. The Spirit withdraws Himself. And He quits withholding the evil one. We live in a vacuum. I think I'm saying this right. There's one or the other. And when one is taken out of the way, the vacuum of the other completely fills it. Whenever God comes to dwell, Satan doesn't. But when God leaves, Satan returns back to his dwelling place. Somebody's living in your body. It's either God or Satan. And if one of them leaves, the other one will be there. Immediately. Light and darkness. In this world that we live in, God is withdrawing Himself from this world. God is withdrawing Himself from this world. And every area that He gives up, Satan fills it. Just as soon as God gives that territory, Satan fills it. That's why Jesus said, "Beware and watch. And when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith on this earth?" He said that whenever He returns, if He didn't cut that time short, the very elect would be deceived. In my lifetime, I've seen things happen. You know, whenever I was a boy, I remember sitting in church, even under an evangelical message. I remember sitting in church and watching my uncles. I can remember two of them just plain as day. Sitting in the back of the church. They didn't come to church very often. But when they did, I remember the preacher preaching that they needed to repent. And I saw those big men, grown men, stand whenever they gave the altar call. And they would hold the back of that church pew. And they were white as a sheet. Standing there shaking, trembling, because they were being visited to make a decision. They didn't belong in God's house. And they knew that they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And they knew that God was calling them to repentance. No matter how much error there was in what they were hearing, they stood there and shook and trembled and wanted out of there. You don't ever see that anymore. You don't see that anymore. Even with that little remnant of a message, the world feared and trembled. The Bible says that in the last days there'll be scoffers and mockers. We're in it. We're in it. God is withdrawing Himself from this world. You and I better be more diligent. I think the day and time we live in requires more diligence than it ever has in history. That we guard our hearts and keep ourselves faithful. We're in a dangerous place. Timothy says that in the last days there will be perilous times. The last days will be in perilous times. And men will be departing from the faith. Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. I don't know if we can understand what he's trying to say here by perilous. It's dangerous. He lived in a bad time. Paul lived in a bad time. But he said in the last days, there will be perilous times. And that's what we're in. I believe God's withdrawn Himself from this world. Satan's getting more and more powerful with his deception. There in Thessalonians where we were. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I used to think that they had just believed some crazy thing, like turn out and be a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. But I'm convinced more than ever that that crazy thing that people believe, this thing that God gives them a lie to believe, is that you're safe in the place that you're at. That you're saved. That you're secure. That you'll be okay. You're special to God. You'll be fine. Think of all the good things that He's done in your life. He cares for you. And He loves you. And you'll be fine. He is all that. But we also have an enemy that is just waiting for you to rest. Just waiting for you to stop. And believe the lie that you'll be okay. We're in a dangerous world. We're in a dangerous time. Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I think this idea of being saved, this idea of knowing I am saved, is just part of the great deception. I know I've been delivered from, just like the children of Israel know that they were delivered from. But God said, don't trust in that. That's what He was telling them. Don't trust in being delivered from. Don't trust in having these promises that I've promised you. You have to go on and take these places that we've left. You have to press on. Because if you rest and get comfortable where you're at, you'll soon just begin adapting back to what the world has to offer. And then my other promises begin to take effect. You turn away from me, I promise you that I'll destroy you. And He uses Satan to do it. God is looking for people who will be diligent and faithful to the end. God is looking for people who, when they're given something, they'll carry it out. You children, you young people, finish what you start. You old people, finish what you start. Don't leave things half undone. You're just setting a pattern for the rest of your life for how you're going to deal with things. You be faithful and loyal where you're at. If you can't be faithful and loyal to these little things on earth, how are you ever going to be faithful and loyal to Christ? If you can't carry through with some little chore that some man or some your father or your mother tells you to do, how do you think you're going to stand against the wiles of Satan? Learn faithfulness. For God's sake. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Sudden destruction comes upon them. Oh, it said them, didn't it? No, sudden destruction comes upon us. It's not them and us. The Bible is talking to me and you. A lot of times when we read them and us, it's easy to put them people in Israel or those Israelites over there with or it's easy to put people over in the world. But God cannot have an ear. He does not have an ear in the world. Those people are all finished. He's looking for the people who have ears to hear. And that's who He's talking to. Within these walls, and whoever hears this, it's you, not them. It's me. Help us guard against peace and safety and letting down our guard. We have an enemy. And he's hungry. And he knows his time is short. He's just looking for a way to get in. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of that night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Press on. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. These are all part of the remedy. It's not talking about a hierarchy of ruling, but it's talking about a listening, watching those who are over you, respecting those who are above you. There's a great lack of respect in this world. And I think we can help instill that by just teaching our children to respect those that are older than they are. Just to have a respect for those. They don't have to listen to everything they say. They should be wise enough to discern. We talked a little bit about with children. If it's like listening to God. A lot of times whenever if you told your child what to do something, they would respect what you told them to do because they heard from their father. But then some stranger comes along, they're going to question what that stranger is trying to tell them. My sheep know my voice. When we hear what God has to say, we listen to it. We know, we trust. But then somebody else comes along and we question maybe what they're saying. Problem is, a lot of times we're questioning what's good. And then we just accept what's bad. We need to hear that which is good and accept it, keep it. We as a church accept people that say they're following Christ and are living and following the basic teachings of the Lord. We accept them. We receive them. But that doesn't always mean we trust them. Doesn't always mean we can endorse everything they do. And I think there's plenty of room for that in the Scriptures. Look to those you know you can trust. There's people that come among us that we will receive as brethren because we have no right to say they're not. But yet by some of their actions, we don't need to be listening to them. And some of the things that they say and do. Be careful who you take your advice from. Be careful who you take your advice from. Run it by somebody else that you trust. Someone over you. That's what they're talking about here. There's many deceivers in the world. We have people that we know we can depend on and trust. We have the confidence we can depend on them and trust them. But that's as they follow, not just because they've got the title. We're to watch and wait. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as prevail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We're not in darkness. We don't have to be in darkness. But that darkness is just right around the corner of the light going out. Walk in the light. Be diligent. Be faithful to the Lord. God, add His blessings. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, to take heed to this word. Write it on our hearts and our minds, Father, that each one of us would guard ourselves. Lord, that we would cling to You, Father, and Your way. Lord, that we would hear Your voice. Lord, that we would press on and carry through. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Yeah.
was just going to ask if anybody had any ideas about that.
Well, I don't know that I have all the answers, but I know what Christ said, and that's just where I've got to start on that foundation. And so it's got to fit with what he was talking about more than anything. Maybe when he returns again, his kingdom, but again, I just don't know. He tells us, will there be faith when I return? That pretty well, everything else has got to line up with that, as far as I'm concerned. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with the way we're looking at the other. So like I said, I don't have the answer, but I know how it can't work.
Along with that, I think one thing, that whatever the general consensus of evangelical Christianity is about what's going to happen in the end of the future is at least one thing we can throw out. I mean, or at least discredit. Whatever's going to happen is not going to be what everybody, the majority, is expecting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a good indicator. You're pretty much the opposite.
Yeah.
If they say in the last days there will be a great return, right? Good indicators. Probably not.
That was widely spoken of in charity circles. Any of these evangelical revivalistic movements are building up for a big revival that's going to come. And there will be a revival, I think. And it will probably be big. But it won't be the right one. And that's, I think people will get so caught up in it and carried away with it that, hey, there's 100,000 people in China that are getting saved. And it'll just get big and big and big. And people will just be swallowed up by it.
And I wonder if that's what the churches thought when Constantine died, that, oh, this is filling the earth now.
Right.
And they embrace the sword and all other things.
Right.
And it is. That movement did fill the earth.
Yeah, I mean, if you think God's moving, hey, it's time to make sure it goes on now. Let's get on this.
And if you look back from after World War II and the great missionary thrust of the Americas, you could make a pretty good argument that the return has started. Maybe not of all the same groups, but look at charity and look at the American Baptist and look at all these groups that have gone all over the world and now in Africa and China and South Korea, all these Christians have come. And in America and these mega churches and all these new Acts 32 churches and these weird things that are, you know, meet in the bars. And everybody, it's so stylish now. It seems like it has begun slowly. I don't know that when it comes, it's going to be, boom, you know, 2 billion people just became Christians. I think it's just going to deceptively just woo the mind and probably
people stray. Mm-hmm. That mountain may be like they defeat us before they defeat them. Like that. I mean, it may appear very small in comparison to the number of souls. But then when God reveals his host and who he's standing with, it may appear as a mountain in comparison to the host.
Mm-hmm.
hurting and struggling, and you find a group of people that really have a vision like this, that you just relax just a little bit and think, well, I'll just surround the guys among the saints, I'll just be fine. Well, we got a moment. And I'm not, I mean, the fellowship.
Press on. Back here again at 6 this evening. Pray for Kim. She's gone to see Joe Seale in St. Louis or in Springfield. She'll be back after a while, and then Joanne and Brianna will go this evening. But they put her in a mental institution, and it's just probably as bad a place as you could be in this country. Just people screaming. The way I understand it, basically, it's over insurance issues and trying to get a power of attorney over her so that they can declare her incompetent. It's a wicked thing. And she's just basically... So, pray for it. It is a bad place. All right. God bless you.